This is a quick take with the Civics Lab. Today's quick take, we sat down with Claire Campos O'Neill at the Cosmic Bar Cafe on Congress Avenue in Austin, Texas, and had a conversation about her campaign that she ran for the state legislature in House District 51. Here's the conversation. So what did get you interested in running? Why did you decide to run?
I decided to run in this specific race because it was an open seat and it was going to be a short cycle because of redistricting. It wasn't, I think, until November that Eddie Rodriguez decided to run for Congress. So I was like, okay, if I'm running in November, the primary's in March, that's like 4 or 5 months, which felt manageable. Because some candidates are running for like a year, year and a half. And I was like, I don't want to be doing that. That's too much of a commitment.
Yeah.
And having the younger kids, I was like, it felt manageable to do it in that time frame. A lot of what got me thinking this was actually possible was connecting with Annie's List, which helps train women to run for office in Texas, pro-choice women. And they sort of showed you what a campaign looks like, how you do it. And they,
That's cool. Yeah,
they're awesome. In the very beginning, they tell you all the reasons why women don't run for office. And it's because we think a lot about the impact on our families. We think about the time away. We do the work already in our communities, but we don't see ourselves as in leadership in that capacity, I think, which is why I almost didn't run. I was like, I have these young boys. It's going to be a lot of time away. What's this going to do to my family? Is my husband going to be all right picking up the slack?
Yeah.
So all the things they say why we don't run is why I was telling myself I shouldn't run. And then I was like, but I should. Like, they would try to counter that. And even though I didn't win without me running, I would definitely, like, it's a guarantee I won't win. So I think if more women try, we have the chance of getting more women in office. I hope more mothers in office. And they say Annie's List, like, typically female candidates put forward more legislation that benefits families, mothers, children, healthcare, childcare, because we understand how much it costs.
When you announced that you're running, you started your campaign, you had all kinds of groups starting to contact you. Do you want to talk a little bit about how the interest groups reached out to you and the kinds of things they did to put you kind of on a spectrum of, are you liberal or are you conservative or where are you?
There were a lot. Well, I was running in a competitive Democratic primary, so they weren't, I'm trying to think. It wasn't like, are you liberal or conservative?
Yeah.
There was like questionnaires I would get from Planned Parenthood, and they would gauge like, where do you stand on abortion access, like parental consent, things like that. And they were good because I had to think through those things, but there were so many. I feel like the best model was what Raise Your Hand Texas did.
Yeah.
They had a forum where they invited all the candidates, even the Republican that was running in the primary. There's only one. He didn't show up. And they gave us the questions ahead of time. I was able to reach out to their coordinator.
Yeah.
And that one actually felt like a good conversation because it wasn't a debate. We were just sharing our views. And even in education, as Democrats, we did have different stances on things like vouchers, charter schools, school funding, things like that.
But the problem, I think, is that when you have someone that's an elected official in the theater screaming out these terrible things about public schools, that you unleash forces that you can't control. And there are people in the public that believe the theater and will go out and act on that. And so they're playing into a dangerous game here. So shame on the people that are creating, that are bringing this in political theater for a political purpose, because they're unleashing terrible forces.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really dangerous. That's all I can think about. Because kids are going to be curious. They're going to want to seek out answers. And if we're not teaching them and saying, like, this is a safe place.
Underline this, whether it's intentional or not. But you can see a concerted effort by groups that are seeking to use this erosion of trust in the public schools to shift the focus to the vouchers and school choice.
Yeah, I know. Like, I follow Pastors for Texas Children, another amazing group, and they see what's happening. And it is this move towards privatizing schools, but pretending it's all about parental, well, I guess it is parental choice in that instance, but using these non-issues
to chip away and erode, to erode, to
lose that trust. Some people were like, oh, it's okay, I'll just go to my private school. Well, guess what? Your voucher is not going to pay for private school. You're going to have to supplement that. And then what about the kids who don't have enough money? They're not going to get educated, and we're not going to have an educated public, and it's going to be terrible.
So why do you think that's true? What's the motive? Why would
money.
They want to?
They want to reduce their taxes.
For property tax.
Yes, because who does this benefit? Like, taxes are the price of civilization. Like, we have to pay taxes. I'm sorry, but...
My dad always said that if you don't want to pay taxes, then you don't need to drive on my roads, and you don't need to use the schools that we have, and you don't need the police. And when you have a fire, don't call the fire department.
Uh-huh.
So there's a purpose for all of us to provide a resource for a public good. And schools are a bedrock of our democratic society, right? I mean, that's as conservative as it gets. Conservatives argue all the time the necessity of an educated citizenship. Thomas Jefferson, even one of the main founders of Texas, Marabou Lamar, said basically we need a democratic, an educated citizenship. Democratic education is the bedrock of it. Mm-hmm. So when you start to erode public schools, you're eroding democracy.
Yes.
So they're willing to give up democracy for a reduction in their taxes.
Yeah, well, I see.
But what happens is the theater becomes reality, mm-hmm. because we're going to a play. We're not going to see, you know, a Broadway play here. These are elected officials that are using our schools for their own political purposes. And to unleash these forces, you have no control over those forces. And that's part of populism.
Right.
It's the Trump way, right? They've discovered that the Trump rhetoric works because it generates a lot of this instability in America, and it fires people up and gets them out and motivates them. Fear mm-hmm. motivates people.
Yeah.
Did you use fear in your campaign?
No. Well, I mean, yes, and
I mean, yeah, let's,
not
I mean,
really, but okay. But maybe like we're talking about only the fear of. Our public education system is on the brink. Like,
yes.
This is real. We really do need to wake up to this now before it goes the way of these other issues. But I don't know. I mean, is that fear?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is, right? I mean, but it's there's a difference between unfounded propaganda and legitimate concerns, right? So unfounded propaganda is our teachers are communist and we have to destroy the public school system. Like, that's propaganda. But what you're saying is legitimate concerns that I know you've tweeted it. I looked at your Twitter and you retweeted the thing about Austin is one of the top donor in our public school property tax system, $700 something million, four times more than the next district, Harris County, I think. So, I mean, that is a concern, right? That is a legitimate concern.
Yeah. Yeah. If people want to be upset, it's like, I have a lot of real things you can be upset
yes.
about.
Yeah. And that's founded. That's a legitimate. And then the question is, where's the money going?
That was shocking. Yeah. It's the general budget. I'm like, the general budget.
And I want to know more about